everybody. We're back live on the Space Tomatoes podcast. I'm your host, Havoc, and your other host.
Hello, I'm Alex.
And we have with us a guest from the War Dragons community, big outdoors guy, just a pretty solid guy all around, Lumber.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Good, good.
It's been a while.
I know. Some years. For sure.
Yeah, man. So what have you been up to today?
Oh, today, I was out in Rockingham, North Carolina, meeting with one of my accounts, that professional world, right? So just doing some stuff with them and writing some contracts, but long day back home, poured a bourbon, talking with you guys, so I can't complain.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Sounds like a great time.
I actually forgot you were in North Carolina, too.
Yeah, yeah. East Coast, man. You know, yeah. Havoc's only a couple hours away, maybe. I don't know if I should have said that, but...
You came from California, didn't you?
No, never West Coast.
I thought you were out there.
No, I must have been a different guy.
No, I'm just brain dead. Getting old. Sorry.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah. No, Lumber's about two and a half hours away from our place. So, yeah, right down on the coast. Well, now not so much on the coast, right? But very close.
Yeah. I think the beach is like 45 minutes away. So, coast enough, right?
Nice.
That is coast enough for me, man. Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. So, you came back to War Dragons. Are you really into self-deprecate? You know, I mean, like, what's the deal?
A little crazy. So this year marks my 10-year anniversary. So I started playing in, it was 2015, summer of 2015. And, you know, I've retired a few times, and I don't know. It was during, you know, duck season just went out in the Carolinas, and, you know, I had that nostalgic withdrawal, and I'm like, I'm gonna log back in. And I did. And I'm like, this is cool. You know, I reconnected with some friends, because the people kind of bring you back, right? I miss the people. So there's some really good friendships. But, you know, I come back, and, you know, I can't just play casually, because, you know, I was on Dreadnought with LX for almost a year, and, you know, before that, you know, I led other Diamond teams, so I'm like, I gotta go to Diamond, and here I am, you know, 4 or 5 months in, and it's been interesting, to say the least. The game's changed quite a bit.
Not for the better,
but
yeah. When did you come back to it? Just recently? Is that something new, or months ago, or?
Well, and I could tell you this, like, kind of the history. Like, I had my laptop here. I was like trying to log all the teams I've been on. It's crazy. I don't even remember. But the main ones, you know, I was on Equilibrium. I led that for 2-3 years, right? I inherited it from Allie and Bulldog. Who had it in Sapphire. They weren't really competitive. This was after Dread destroyed them the first time, right? And I'm like, you know what? Let's go to Diamond with this team. So where was I? I don't even know. When did I come?
Talking about Equilibrium.
Yeah, so Equilibrium. So yeah, we took it back to Diamond. I had some really good officers, and it was just fun. That was probably almost the funnest I had in, you know, playing the game. We'd war like every night, group calls. It was what the game was made for, right? War Dragons, just the camaraderie with, you know, really good friends. We used to have team meets, man. We'd go to Vegas. We'd meet up. It was like a family, and I really, you know, that's what brought me back. It's just that those relationships with real people, they're professionals. Most of us are professionals, right? You know, when I downloaded the game, I was actually in an airport flying to DC. I'm like, I don't know how it popped up. I was like, War Dragons. I'm a nerd. I like dragons. I'm a Harry Potter buff, Lord of the Rings, right? So I'm like, this is really cool. It's like Sims and dragons and fighting. So, yeah, so that kind of the 10-year anniversary of me playing and kind of missing it, because it's been, I came back in 2021 for about 10 months to lead Digital Chaos. That was interesting. They suckered me into it. I've had a couple bourbon pours and they're like, come back. So came back and I led Digital Chaos, which was, I still have PTSD during that time. LX, you were on Dread, I think, during that. You guys were pounding DC and they're like, you're good with conflict resolution, you know, kind of make a, you know, a truce. So, you know, it took 6 months and a dozen castles traded to kind of resolve that. And, you know, I handed leadership over to Shiggy. I don't know if you remember her. And I said, F the game, I'm never coming back. This was like the end of 2021. And yeah, so I'm on a good team now. They're a good group of guys. A lot of old school players are, you know, they're hiding out. Not really hiding out. I mean, they're public, but you know, just so many teams have disbanded. I mean, you look in
Yeah.
Atlas, it's absolutely insane. Like there's vacant level fives. Like
Oh,
that would
yeah.
have never happened, like, you know, during the game's prime, right? So it's a different game.
Yeah, it is. So so this last time you quit, you quit for a good stint, right? A couple of years.
Yeah, about 3 years. Now, like my daughters, like they actually, when I first downloaded the game, I had three devices and I wanted to get my daughters playing. So, you know, I had three accounts. They played for like a month and stopped. So I didn't. So I had alts. So I kept, you know, playing them. And, you know, during the last 3 years, my youngest, she was, you know, she was on a little Sapphire, not Sapphire, I think it was a Platinum team, just goofing off, you know. So she kept it idled, sort of, kind of. And so it was behind, but not crazy behind. You know, I've spent some money to catch it up. I'm not quite in game, but you know, I'm somewhat relevant to have fun competitively right now, which is pretty cool.
I had kind of the same experience. I talked my wife into downloading it. She played like 2 days and said, "This is stupid." That's how I got my ult. Yeah.
Yep.
So after you quit that time, like, did you get, well, it sounds like you kind of didn't really quit. You were kind of in and out, but did you kind of, like, I mean, miss it? What did you fill your time with?
Oh man, so that's a good question. We briefly talked about that prior to recording. So, I'm a big outdoors guy, right? So I love, you know, anything hunting and fishing. I decided to actually start like a YouTube channel, like social media, and you know, I've carried GoPros out on my hunts and fishing trips and posted them. And you know, I have quite a large following now, and that kind of, you know, preoccupied a lot of time. So, you know, as I mentioned before, duck season went out, there's no hunting. You know, you could coyote hunt, but I was like, it's a perfect storm for me to come back. The bourbon was good too. So, but right now I'm kind of struggling because, you know, I am in Diamond and turkey season is upon us, right? Here in the Carolinas.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I'm missing quest. I'm getting yelled at. I'm like, that part of the game I don't miss. It's when it becomes a job, right?
Yeah.
But
Still
yeah.
setting those alarms for 3 a.m.?
Nope. Nope.
No.
I
You're missing events, Lumber. You're slacking.
know. I know. I'm horrible at PvP. I don't even know why they keep me on the team, but Atlas though, you know, it's, I'll sit and I'll hit teams for hours, so they like that, you know. You know, because I'm not the best flyer, but I'm pretty good, especially when I know the dragon.
Yeah. I think you were a pretty good flyer myself. I don't know.
Well, I was, yeah, people have said that.
I can kind of picture how it went down. You're like probably sitting up in a tree stand and you decided to look at your phone and you're like, oh, the new War Dragon season, it's Soul Drain. That's for me. That's what I need back in my life is Soul Drain.
Soul Drain, that Soul Drain. Something like that, yeah. And now I'm just, I don't know. I don't know how long I'll keep it up. It's, I don't see it forever indefinite. You know, the same events that you guys left and when I left, they're still running. They're still running in Cadence. Nice. And I'm like, guys, you know, you're dealing with player retention. You know, you're, you know, obviously it's a money making game, right? So people aren't spending. You got to add a little something. I'm sure there's variables to like get, you know, programming cost, but I don't know. I figured they'd have a different event, but nope, it's the same events.
I mean, they could even mix up the map, but nope, two lefts, two rights, and bam, and you're done.
that's pretty much it, yeah. Mm.
But you know, hey, look, like you had said, right? It's the camaraderie, it's the, you know, brotherhood, if you will, right? Hey, there is a lot of that, right? And it, you know, it has a lot of pull on people. It does on me, or did. Nowadays, I really couldn't imagine myself going back. Not just the base. If I hadn't done that with my base, I'd still, I think, you know, being in some of the team chats still, I see the same frustrations, the same, you know, monotony kind of a thing going on. And I just, no interest, you know. I'm like, oh, they're griping about this. Oh, they dropped another currency for yet another tower. Oh, you know, and I'm like, oh man, I just, but I did love it. I, you know, there's no question about it. Just like you, you know, I saw dragons and I was like, wait, what? I can fly a dragon and kill stuff? Oh, I'm in. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And the mechanics aren't too complicated. You know, that a 5-year-old could figure it out or an 80-year-old could figure it out. So I think they're on to something. You know, I did list, you know, some pain points we could talk about later. Easy fixes, just, you know, kind of looking in. But again, there's cost to that. And I think if, I don't know, PG is, I feel they've plugged their ears a little bit with community feedback, just a little bit. I think the input they're getting is a little biased. I'm unbiased. You know, I've been on all sides. I was on Yin Yang for almost a year, actually, with you in 2000. It was 21, actually. Yeah. So all sides, you know, there's just, I don't know. The voice isn't heard. I think if they did more surveys and polls and got more feedback, you know, they'd make little minor changes to kind of drive revenue. You know, that's my background is, you know, finance, right? I understand ROI. I understand all that. When I was at the summit with you, in 2019, I had a chance to sit down with the marketing manager and we were bouncing ideas back and forth and saying, these are really awesome. And she's like, I'll follow up with you. Well, 2 weeks later, she quit the job. So I'm like, you know, all those great ideas, you know, just, I don't know. You know, I think they could do things a little more efficiently and, you know, player retention's always been an issue. And now more than ever, I don't even see how the game's still going. I mean, I really don't.
So the game had a special invitation for very dedicated players. I wonder how they came up with the criteria on who to invite for that event. I'm still a little mad about that.
Yeah, you know, I got invited. I had to sign an NDA and all that. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Pocket Gems was never too big on the little fixes. They're like, we're gonna take your list that you've carefully compiled and taken hours to research, and you know how we're gonna fix it. We're going to add a new currency. That'll fix everything.
That'll fix everything. And then the new, they just dropped the new tower. Absolute. Like it's, I get what they were trying to do, but I don't know.
I get what they're trying to do too.
Hey, yeah, line their pockets. However, I mean, I don't know. You want? I don't know. People will buy it. Like I've spent when I can't come back. I've spent a lot, not crazy like I used to, but I've spent some money trying to catch up because you know, to play in Diamond, you have to be somewhat relevant. You got to be able to beat the bases, otherwise, you know, what's the point in being a Diamond, right? But
how hard is it to develop one of these games? Is it like really intensive or what?
I don't know.
I think, you know, and we got this feedback at the summit, right? Is the main issue again is that they coded it all on a really old UI, right? One of the kind of first ones that came out that people were kind of using as a commercial UI. And when they went to try and unravel the code to put it into a new UI, they started finding that there were dependencies everywhere. Kind of like the whole water shrine thing, right? We can't get rid of it because if we get rid of it, it borks the whole game.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a pretty big forklift type of approach if they want to get it into something that is more flexible, that they could modify, you know, base design, they could change the layout, you know, so you're not, you know, like Alex said, you know, two left turns, two right turns and you're home, you know. But again, that's a pretty big dump of money right there. You're going to have to go through what I can only imagine is a stacked layer of, you know, crap on top of crap on top of crap. And it's just all interwoven, you know? So, but I will tell you, you know, that right there would probably lead to a ton of interest. I think people would be a lot more happy with that. And a resurgence of it. But on that same track, what are some small, like if we could shove this in PG's face, what would be some small incremental changes that they could make that likely wouldn't cost too much but would improve player satisfaction or happiness?
That's a good question, right? So, you know, overpowered like TAs and alliances have always been a pain point for some. Right. When you're in that LX is right. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there. I was right. It's fun. It's fun for us, but not the community. Right. So how would you kind of balance that? I thought about it. An Atlas shuffle. Right. So you have teams every Atlas season that are randomly selected by, you know, team power. Randomly put in, you form your five team TA. That's going to force team collaboration. And, you know, if you don't like that team, well, guess what? You're SOL because you're stuck with them for the next however many days that season is. And kind of increase, like, how do you incentivize, like, cooperation? Well, have big TA collective pot prizes. Like, I don't know, 5,000 12-hour timers, that may be excessive, but something that's like, okay, we're going to work together. And, you know, maybe it's glory-driven collectively. I don't know. I mean, but I think that's kind of within their control to have, you know, change those mechanics. Those mechanics, they have a little more influence over in Atlas versus regular gameplay was my understanding. And that would bust up, you know, alliances, a random selection every season, team cooperation. This actually, I was talking to Three from Strikers. She brought this up and I'm like, that's a pretty good idea. But it's something to entertain because that would really shake the map up a lot. You know, I don't know if you reset the map entirely and you conquer new castles, that would be cool, you know, but right now, I mean, you look at the amount of vacant castles and pirate teams, you know, that's going to fix that naturally. You know, if there's a reset every 30 days or what, seasons every 90 days, I don't even know. That's going to fix a lot of it because pirate teams are a huge issue right now. So, I have an idea to fix pirate teams if they don't want to do that shuffle. You know, when you hit those beasts in Atlas to get resources, gold, like every time you hit them, it drops, right? So if you go to a castle and you hit one player's Primarch, every time you hit them, the GP gets curved. Maybe it's 100%, 70%, 50%, zero. So that's going to help with bullying. You know, those are easy mechanics that, and that's going to fix pirate teams too. So, I mean, there's little, I have a whole book of ideas. You know, I'd love
we
to
prefer
actually.
We prefer to call it character building.
Character building. No, I like that. I like that. Spare the rod, spoil the team, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of ideas. And this is, the community has good ideas. And I think if they hear enough of them and they look at ROI saying, hey, it's not going to cost us much to implement these, and we could potentially drive this amount of revenue, let's try it. Let's entertain it. Right now, their game's dying. It's dying fast. So they gotta think outside the box. I do like some new mechanics that they've added, right? So there's relics. Were you around when there were relics that you could add, the dragons and like bases?
They had just started that when I left. I left really? In November of 23. So they had just started the relic creation process where you could, you know, craft your own. But there was a lot of, and I heard they've done a better job with it, but you know, people were just getting like, you know, 5% wood boost or something like that, like way too often, you know?
And no, they've obviously
that gets expensive.
It does, but they have it now to like before, you know, if you have a max base, max towers, the common runes and glyphs, like you're kind of like copy paste, your base is somewhat similar. Like if you have max research, right now there's more of a chance to have a unique base, you know, because not everybody's going to have the same relics and like your dragons, and they have the new gear, like ascended gear wasn't around when I was retired. Now there's ascended gear that goes up to level 12. So I like a lot of the things they've done, and the towers, right? How I've actually been able to catch back up is, you know, it costs like 3 or 4 days to get, you know, a level 120 tower to 121. So like, the curve to catch up is kind of, they've incentivized players that have retired to come back. Same with breeding, you know, it doesn't cost as much to backbreed. So I do like a lot of the things they have done, continue doing that. You know, just building upon that, making it more unique for the player, you know, to have, you know, the spenders out there are going to have the best base regardless. Right. So give them that advantage. If they want to spend $500,000 on their base, let them have the best base. That's hard to beat. You know, that's going to drive revenue for them. So
do they still have those guys in the top tiers that have like the whole season done in like a day or two?
They're
still around.
There's not as many JLs. Right. But there's some, there's a handful of them, you know, I've never been that guy. Like, I don't.
No,
like
I've never been that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I'm smart with saving chest and opening certain things during the start of a season. And yeah, but there's still some big spenders.
Yeah. I always thought it was cool. Like, by the end of the week, you could be, you know, get the review on them. Like, don't spend your money on, or, you know, your token. Or I forget even what the currency was to get there, the sigils or something. I don't really remember, but he's, you know, don't spend it on this one, you know, go for this one. Sigils.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you imbibing on there?
Drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little William Weller LaRue out of Buffalo Trace Antique Collection. It's a good bottle. So you're a bourbon guy. You're mentioning, right? You like the Blantons.
Yeah. Well, I like all sorts of bourbon personally, but yeah. I have my favorites, and Blantons just happens to be one for me. You know, like we had discussed previously, it has, you know, some variations depending on, you know, where they're pulling, you know, what, you know, barrel and where in the barrel they're pulling it from. but in general, it's the most consistent and reliable, like, I am going to enjoy this, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, especially if you bump up to Blanton's Gold, then, you know, that's, for me, it's always a pretty consistent drink. Yep, that's it. Yep, got a bottle of it over back here. And then, have you tried the red, the Japanese entry that they pulled back? And mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on that one?
It's a little more oaky. It's got a little, it's a rye, you know, it's the rye mash bill. I like it. I like all of Blanton's. I've had the green label, the black, you know, I was trying to complete the vertical. I have, are you a Weller guy? Do you like weeded bourbons?
I sometimes, it depends. Weller is, for me, is kind of hit or miss. Sometimes it's really good. I have had some that I just wasn't a big fan of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the best in that lineup, man, and you could find it, is the Weller 12. Like, I like right around that 90 proof. It's good. You could pour a little, you know, half pour and just sip on it. You know, I'm more of a collector, you know, I'll drink, you know, tonight was an occasion to reconnect with friends. So I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna have some good pours, but, that kind of preoccupied some of my idle time in War Dragons. I'm like, I have all this money I'm not spending. Like, what do I do? I'm like, I'm going to create a bourbon bar. So, over the last 3 years, I've, you know, created a pretty impressive collection. So I guess when I run out of bourbon, I'll quit War Dragons again and, start spending there, but
restock the bourbon,
restock it for a while. Yeah.
Nice.
You know, I switch over to like chick beer.
Well,
I have not. Hey, I've had some busies before, man. They're not bad on the boat. You know, it gets hot. Like, I can't, if I'm out in the, you know, the sun, I can't drink bourbon. That's just too heavy. I'll drink some light beers. There's nothing wrong with that.
My wife actually loves Corona Premier. That's her favorite. And turned LX onto it. He not a beer drinker, does not like beer in general, but seems to enjoy that, I think, right?
Yeah, once in a while. Yeah, on vacation once a year. It's good.
Once a year. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and bourbon. Yeah, I can't even imagine hot day and bourbon. Oh. Yeah, that just reminds me of very interesting times, you know, sitting at a picnic table next to a pool and someone pulls out a little mason jar with clear stuff in it and twists the cap. Yeah. Hmm. It's going to be a fun day, but it probably won't be a memorable day because you don't know what the hell
you did. Not for you anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
What else do you have going on in your life?
Well, I got a lot of hobbies, guys. So I make wine. That's kind of, I think I'd mentioned that. Yeah. I got on our region, it's muscadine grapes. So I grow quite a few muscadine grapes, and that's a hobby. Eventually, like, on the bucket list is we'll start a boutique, little winery. I make probably 300 gallons of wine a year right now. I gift it all. So it's, and you've had muscadine, you heard of Duplin Winery having, so they grow a lot of their grapes around here. Like, my neighbor, he grows for them. So, you know, my soil and conditions are great for it. So I have a few acres that are growing just for fun. So that's taken up some time. You know, I have a homestead out here, so chickens, ducks, quail. You know, the kids, they love that, you know, living out here in the country. Fishing and hunting, loving every day, man. That's kind of the name of the game for me.
That's it right there. Yeah, I haven't taken on quail yet. I keep thinking about it, but the eggs are so small and just, I get frustrated trying to make anything with them. And then, you know, I love quail, but it's just, you know, it's appetizers, I guess. You know, I keep thinking about it though. I'm like, man, it would be cool because they're quiet. They you know, come up real quick, and people seem to really love their eggs. So might be have something, maybe be something we have to take on at some point.
My wife keeps talking about the quail thing. You know, like it's pretty amenable to the urban homestead kind of thing. Like they don't bother people, and so any pointers on the quail that you can give me?
Oh yeah, so I guess the big one that a lot of homesteaders, we have Copernicus jumbo brown, right? So super easy to raise, man. They almost look like, I keep them in stacked bunny cages. That's what it looks like, and they have to stay in smaller cages, otherwise they bounce back up. Like if you have a 2 foot ceiling, they're gonna break their necks because they're really skittish. So I mean, I hate it. They're only 15 foot ceilings, but if they get scared and jump up, they're not gonna kill themselves. But there's some light level variations. You have to keep a artificial light in if you want to get eggs. You know, they have to get X amount of hours of daylight a day to produce eggs. But man, you could hatch a quail in, I think it's 18 or 19 days. You know, we had several hundred quail at one time, and it got out of control. So we gave a lot away and established other homesteaders. But right now we're down probably 50. And okay. the eggs are small, right? But I pickle them. Pickled quail eggs. Oh my gosh, you get a mason jar of that. It's really good. It really is good. So,
how does that work?
To pickle them, right? So yeah. you can make your own pickle brine. It's going to, you know, comprise mostly of sugar, salt, and then vinegar. And you could add herbs and stuff, but it's really easy. I pickle okra. I mean, we grow probably half an acre of okra every year. I'm actually working on having my own pickle brand, pickled okra and pickles, actually. So I have a few brines that people are liking, so I'm testing it. Like I said, I got a lot of hobbies. I'm just, my hands are in many pots. I don't know why I came back to War Dragons, but here I am.
I just had an image of a label for Lumber's Pickles, and it's
like
some lumberjack dude and holding a big fat dill pickle. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a little
rude. Good. It's good marketing. It is good marketing. Not too far off either, but
you'll definitely want to stick this big fat pickle in your mouth.
Yeah, that's probably not going to go over well with everybody.
You'd be amazed.
There's some risque marketing out there that works. So
there is, for sure. Yeah, man. Well, that's pretty cool. So, I mean, the farm life is treating you well. How did the transition go? Was there any like issue with the family, with you? You know, was it difficult? Did you kind of, I got to get back to, you know, people or, you know, events or anything like that? Or
So this was during 2020 when the pandemic was kind of at a high, right? You know, we had a house right there on the Intercoastal Waterway. You know, my boat's in the water. I could go offshore anytime I wanted. So leaving that and kind of, you know, my family lives there, wife's family lives there. It was kind of hard, but you know, we really thought and prayed about it, and we're like, you know, let's go to the country, let's move to the country. That's always been my dream. But when you have a wife that's, you know, grew up in Atlanta, you know, big city girl, and I'm like, that's never going to happen. But when she's like, I had a dream, we lived in the country, I'm like, let's make that dream a reality. So, you know, the next day I'm like, we're looking at houses, and I'm like, I've never heard of that town. Let's go look at this house that I found. And 2 months later, we're living in it. You know, I'd listed our house, it sold. But the girls, they, you know, you leave a network of friends and family, I'm not too far away. We're, maybe an hour at tops, so we're still relatively close to, the city life. But the transition wasn't as bad as I thought. Luckily we fell into a good network of people up here to hang out with, like-minded folks that love the outdoors and love nature. So that kind of helped, quite a bit. Yeah.
Awesome.
Any regrets at all? Me.
No, I mean, like I said, I still have family there. So if I want to go on a boat, I just drive an hour and hop on my dad's boat. So
Nice.
it's, there's little sacrifice, but if you want to go to like a nice restaurant where you're driving 40 minutes, like we have a caution light. That's it. It's literally, there's not a lot out. We have a dollar store and a gas
Oh,
station.
nice.
So, so
Is it next to a Food Lion though?
no food line's 40 minutes away.
Oh,
So,
dang.
yeah,
Nice.
so it kind of puts you in a position to like, if you want like fresh herbs and stuff, or you're growing them and then you're vacuum sealing them and then you're freeze drying them, like, so I, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but 2020 was some crazy stuff for a lot of people. And we just the freedom out here. I'm like, you go into the city, you're like, it's complete lockdown. You have to show certain identification. And I'm like, where we're at, we're like, it doesn't matter. Like
Yeah.
we're here. Like F, like you're kind of on your own world. So, we've kind of carried that mindset. And right now my girls, they have a little withdrawals. They're like, I do miss my friends being able to play with them, but again, they have a little network here, which is nice.
So you've been
Well,
there
that's
about
awesome.
5 years now?
Yeah, so right at 5 years. So yeah.
Have you noticed like an influx of people trying to do the same thing? Because I know where Havoc's at, there was like nobody, and then he's starting to have a few more visitors to the area, and sometimes it kind of ruins what you have going on, but because everybody else wants the same thing.
Yeah. No, I've seen that quite a bit. It's funny, like it's 2021, you start to see social media posts and stuff like that, where urban homestead living, everyone's trying to get off the grid. So we moved at the right time when, like, the market was fantastic. Like, I got above my asking price on my house. Like, I was able to pretty much get this one, for cash. So, now, man, if you have that desire to move out to the country, for one, everything's inflated. It's a crazy market. I'm glad she had that epiphany and that dream to move out to the country, because it would have been a lot harder and more challenging to do that now. So yeah. But yeah, there's been quite a few families pop up. Luckily, where I'm at, there's a lot of farmland, so not a lot of I looked at it on the map. I looked at floodplains, because Carolinas, we get hit by a lot of hurricanes, and there's a lot of flooding because I have a river half a mile down the road from me. However, I'm like 100 foot above sea level. So unless it's like a Noah and the Ark flood, like my house is fine. My river property is going to get destroyed, but I'm able to pull all my assets out of there. I have a mobile bathroom on wheels. I have everything's built to flood. I actually built it from scratch down there, which is really cool. So it did flood last year, which when we had all that rain, you remember that havoc? It was just crazy amounts of rain. Yeah, I had like 3 foot of water on my property. But it dried out. Everything worked just great. So it's, knock on wood, hopefully we don't get a 100-year flood and it goes higher than that. But I'm pretty happy with how things worked out.
Yeah, we've thought about making the move. It's just I'm just really nervous because even if you buy next to a 100-acre farm, the next thing you know, like that guy could sell it off, and now you have 150 home development going in there, or 500 home development, and you're like, man, this is exactly what I just got away from.
Yeah. Look at zoning, like, talk to your county and be like, can they ever do a development here, right? Like, does the land perk? Like, you could ask these questions, get it in some sort of written documentation. At the end of the day, anything could be bought, right? And you have the right developer with the right amount of, schmoozing and money, they're going to do things. But if you have some sort of written documentation, it might hinder that. But man, I love it. Like, are you, you're in Florida, is it, Alex? Yep.
Central Florida, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, I wouldn't look, I've never looked back. Like, I love where I'm at. I would take my phone and give you a tour. It's beautiful out here, man. I got 300 acre field to my right, and they're growing corn right now, and to my left is my vineyard, and it's just trees, big hardwood trees. It's nice.
That's
We really
awesome.
like it. Yeah.
We'll have to get you back on one point. I'll make a trip down and we'll do a little walkthrough and stuff. That'd be pretty
I'd love
awesome.
that. Yeah.
Awesome. It's a thing.
Yeah.
We're just gonna figure out the dates.
Yeah, I got my river property. I got a cabin down there. So anytime you guys want to come out and hang out and stay, you're welcome to. Like, it's pretty cool. Like, I still stay in touch with a lot of my old War Dragon friends. Like, they still come out to this day. Like, we hang out and go fishing and hunting, 'cause I mean, we're real people. You know,
Yeah.
there's some weirdos out there, but I don't really hang out with those. But you guys are good in my book, man. For sure.
Awesome. Yeah, we're still going strong on alpaca. We just finished, well, last year, November, the 7th year of alpaca, which is pretty insane.
Wow.
Managed to pull that one off even with some forum shenanigans about, oh, you can't do that because it's a pandemic. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, we did get a bunch of crap from that, huh?
We did. We got a lot of crap for that. But
I think I offered everybody if they wanted to come, I'll give you a free Tyvek suit and a SN95 respirator set up if you show up. No,
right.
nobody took the offer though, unfortunately.
No, it was, an interesting time, shall we say. So, you got some good fishing down in that river?
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, no, I grew up saltwater fishing. So, I had wahoo, king mackerel. We go off the shore to do some ledges for grouper. That's kind of in my family. Like, I'm like fifth generation fisherman, like Carolina Beach. There's
Nice.
charter boats that ran out of there, right? That was my family's. So, very established saltwater fisherman. I move out here, and I grew up, catching bass occasionally, but freshwater fishing something else, man. When you could literally hop in your boat on like dry land and catch a 50-pound like flathead catfish, like, I'm like, I have to go offshore, an all-day trip to catch a 50-pound fish. But yeah, lots of really good fishing. It's just convenient. Have you ever been limbline fishing, Havoc?
I have not.
Have you heard of that?
I
So
have.
you go out, you have, yeah. So yeah, that's the kids love that. So I'll go out, set 20 lines. Basically, you have a tree that overhangs the water, and you tie a paracord with a weighted hook, piece of meat, and you come back 2 hours later, and that tree is just bobbing up and down, man. And the kids, they love it. They pull in a big old fish. My girls, they like to catch fish. I'm not going to say they like fishing, right? If they're catching fish, then yeah, they like fishing, but their attention spans really limited. And that's most kids, but even the adults, man. You set 20 lines, you go back to the camp, drink a couple beers, eat some barbecue, then go check your lines. It's fun. It's the best therapy in the world, I think, man. It really is.
Yeah, no question. We used to go up to Goshen, Virginia, a little hunting property, and had a river that came off of that, and it was great. Most of what we caught was red eye, to be honest, but there were trout in there as well. It was just, yeah, I don't know, I loved it. It's just I actually enjoy fishing though. Like you said, a lot of people enjoy catching.
I need the story on what you're doing there, because I have no idea what that is.
It's not a bong.
I thought you were gonna like light up a bong or something. Yeah, what is that deal?
No, so this I just made a that is a smoked old fashioned. So yeah, you've had old fashions before, right? So I got this little contraption. You put wood chips in. It looks like a bong because I'm looking at the camera angle. I'm like, do they see like that? It's a drink, not weed. But yeah, so this is cherry wood. It infuses your drink. I like you get a nice oaky flavor with the bourbon. It goes pretty well.
I have never seen anything like that before in my life.
Oh man, I used to bartend in college. So you come out here, dude. Yeah, yeah. You like the ladies like the espresso martinis with the creme brulee top and stuff. Like I do all that. So you get the wives nice and tipsy. It gives me a chance to go fishing and hunting. So yeah, my bar is always being used in some way.
There it is right there.
That's right, man.
Some good cherries in there. Yeah, and the smoke kind of, at least for me, it helps cut down some of the sweetness, you know?
It does.
I do love a Manhattan. Just something wonderful about that combination, you know? But what are you using for bitters?
Well, I just used some orange bitters. But this stuff out of Woodford Reserve makes like chocolate bitters. Oh my gosh, is so good. Yeah, I have all kinds of stuff down here. But yeah, this is just some orange bitters that I used. You know, little black cherries. I don't use simple syrup. I don't like sweet things, like you said. Like I'd rather taste. I that was blasphemy. I just used William Weller LaRue to make an old fashioned, but it was right by me. So it's my favorite drink. I like to actually like my coffee. I drink black. I just like the taste and the natural bean and the natural bourbon. So it's a good fun drink. Man. Yeah.
Give me my dirt flavored water. That's all I want. I don't want any
that's
stuff.
That's it, man. As is, stuff. Baby. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get LX one of these days to drink a Manhattan.
Yeah, probably not. I'm good.
Probably not.
I got my water. I'm good with water. And my girl beer once in a while.
Yeah, girl beer. We'll get you some girl beer. Chick beer.
That's what kind of chick beer do you like?
Corona Premier.
I like it. It's smooth. It's it's not bad. Yeah,
that's what Mrs. Havoc drinks, and that's what I get lured into trying. And I'm like, hey, this ain't bad, I guess.
Yeah,
it's like drinking water with a kick. You know.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
It's refreshing. That is for sure. After a hot day, you pop one of those things, you can down that thing like it was water. I mean, it really is. It's very, very refreshing. You know, it's low in carbs. It's low calorie and you know, big piece there is my wife. You know, she doesn't get as plastered on those. You know, takes quite a few of them to get there, so it's a good thing.
Yeah,
put a little twist of lime in them and good to go, I guess.
Yeah, another one, Blue Moon makes a Blue Moon Light. That's a really good one. It's more of a, you know, put an orange in that. It's good boat beer. Because I'm out in the sun all day long. Like, I'm not drinking an old fashioned on the boat. Like, I've had that Corona Premier. That's good. But if you want something a little more light, it's only 4% alcohol. It's not heavy. Like, but the carbs, there's no carbs and calories in it either. So, hardly. That's a good one. You might want to try that LX. Get an orange beer.
All right. Nice. Yeah. Thank you for the suggestion.
Orange peel, believe it or not, is a huge thing, right? If you don't do it, I mean, it's good, but if you add that orange, it really just it changes the whole thing, right? The whole flavor profile changes. You get way more of what's in the beer when you taste it, just from that little bit. It's like bourbon, right? If you pour a neat bourbon, if you really want to kick that flavor in, grab yourself a pipette or something and add like 2, maybe 3 drops of water on, you know, on your bourbon, and just let it sit, give it a little stir, and all of a sudden the flavors come alive. I don't know why. I have no idea of the science behind it, but it's a reality.
No, it definitely opens up a bourbon, right? Especially the hot ones that are like, you know, that William Weller, that's 142 proof. It does not drink it. That's 140. I think that's 2017. That's hot, right? So a couple drops of water, you know, you get a more, the viscosity is not leaving that. You're still getting all the palate notes and stuff. Like I actually, like when I had first quit War Dragons, I would go to these distilleries and I took some certifications, and like I'm not quite a sommelier, but like I understand it, where I get invited and get like actually constructive feedback on nice bourbon. But yeah, those super hot ones, you got to have an ice cube or something. But like I said, that 90 proof, that 90 to 95, that's, you know, you could drink it neat all day and it's not gonna burn your throat up where you got blisters.
That really hot stuff, I typically tend to avoid it, to be honest with you, just because it's so hot. I guess for me it takes away some of the enjoyment, you know what I mean? But yeah. I'll have to try it. I've never tried it with water added, just neat. And you know, it's really good. It's fantastic. It's just, it has that burn to me that just, I don't find, like when I was a teenager, I loved that burn, you know, woohoo, let's go party, you know, but nowadays that just hurts.
I get heartburn ever since turning 30, right? Like, yeah, I hurt. I gotta be mindful of what I eat and what I drink and how much I consume of everything. So, I'm right there with you.
Next stop is this. It's coming.
Yeah, I got gray hairs. Some of them down here. It's starting. Luckily, like, hasn't hit my head yet, but it'll matter of time.
It probably is. It's okay. I had a lot more color in my hair just from like the summit to now it's pretty much
You look good, man. I was actually like, you got a full set of hair, like you look like a GQ Santa Claus. I don't know, is that country line? Nah, man, you're aging pretty well. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah,
a bourbon.
The bourbon preserves you. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, you guys grow tomatoes?
I need to send some pictures. Yeah. So, we went a little crazy. So we went from, you know, living in somewhat, we had in half an acre, in Wilmington, and we had just, you know, a couple beds. We grew zucchini, you know, tomatoes, and we moved out here. We had all this land, and like, what do we do with it? So we're like, let's create these like 20 by 50 foot beds. And like, we burned holes. We have the landscaping fabric with the drip tape irrigation. I need to send you pictures. It's done right. But we have over 200 tomato plants every year.
Nice.
Yep. And we haven't had really much luck with the big, you know, the beef eaters, the big ones, but the cherry tomatoes, you pick a 5-gallon bucket every day. Like, I give them away. Like, I make big giant batches of salsa and stuff. So, yeah, we grow tomatoes really well, zucchini, like, cucumbers out the wazoo, and okra. Have you ever grown okra? You can't kill it.
This will be my first year growing okra. I've not historically liked it. Growing up, you know, split family. So I lived with my dad and he loved okra, but he liked to just boil it whole and then serve it on a plate. And as a child, the only thing I remember is just tons of snot. And so after that, it was just like, yeah, I don't want anything to do with this. But my wife and I, we went to Florida. Our oldest lives there. And, you know, the LXs live there as well. So we went down there and one of my colleagues lives down there. And we went over to their house for dinner first night we were down there. And they're Indian. And they served up this dish with okra. And I was like, oh, great. Now I've got to eat it. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Southern raised, you get sat at a table and someone puts food in front of you. What do? You eat it. You don't have to ask for seconds, but you better finish your plate. Yeah. So I started eating it and I was like, wait a second, that's okra? And, you know, we started talking about it and, you know, shared the recipe with me. And I was like, okay, now I'm going to grow okra. Yep. So,
yeah.
And I'm not big on fried foods. I do like fried okra, but, you know, I try and avoid fried foods in general now. And so that's off the table for me. So I was kind of like, yeah, no reason to grow something I'm not going to eat, you know, but now I will.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm right there with you as how it's prepared. Cause it can be pretty slimy, right? You pickle it. Oh my gosh. It's so good. The whole thing. Don't just cut it up. Just pickle the whole thing. Next, if you come down, like, I'll give you a few jars. I'll mail you some LX. Like, you let me know what you think. But, yeah, I got a sweet, a hot, and then just a mild. But I love it. And you can't kill it. Like, you don't even, like, I planted half an acre, like, an acre of it. And I never watered it, like, last year. And it just grew. I had, like, 7-foot bushes. And you have to pick it, like, every daggone day. And it like, the one thing I hate about it, you have to wear long sleeves and gloves because there's something on it, like you'll itch. It feels like you're in poison ivy. It's crazy. So, you know, when the girls don't do their chores or something, I'm like, you know, threaten them with picking okra. I'm like, you're gonna pick okra. But no, so yeah, we grow too much. We like to give it away. It's fun, man. Like, trying to live our best lives, but you know, it's doable. You know, if the world shut down, like I could survive. Like I'm pretty sure I could. Just the resource of the land, you know, the hunting, the fishing, the trapping, you know, that's my world. I did that way before War Dragons. Like I understand, I was, you know, I'm an Eagle Scout, right? So like, even at 14, 15, like I'd hike and wilderness survival and then, you know, have some military background. But it's just fun, man. You know, living off the land. I'm not worried about it. You know, go blackout. I'd love it. You know, let's do it.
Yeah. Isn't that an awesome feeling too, knowing that, you know, you just, it's like, okay, yeah, it would be tough. It would be different. It would be weird. But you'd be okay.
Yeah. No, we've done blackout assimilations. I'm like, the next 48 hours a weekend, I'm shutting power off. Like, we're going to filter our water. We're going to, be prepared. That's the motto, right? So, you know, I like that. In all my kids, like, I could take them out hunting. You know, they're proficient in archery, right? And we could go shoot a dozen rabbits. And, you know, make a nice stew and they know how to clean it. They're, you know, 9 and 12, right? So they're young, you know. Yeah. So, you know, you teach them young. They know how to take care of themselves. And, you know, it's all about discipline, but the ability to do it. So I love it. You know, I'd love to eventually be on one of those wilderness survival movies or the shows, right? I think I could do it, like not naked and afraid, because I'd embarrass all the other men, but like alone, oh dude, I think I could do it, man. I really do.
Yeah, I don't know. So I know I could survive, with the goal of getting out of that situation. No problem. The idea of being there for 90, 120 days, no interest in doing that, right? But,
yeah,
you know, knowing you could, if you were in that situation, you have the skills to, you know, be okay until you get out of there with the goal of getting out of there. Yeah, I see that as a worthwhile endeavor.
Yeah.
You ever go hunting, Alex?
I've tried it. Never really caught anything or never, you know, shot anything. We sat there in the tree for a while and it was freezing cold. And we went deer hunting, me and my buddy. And, yeah, just saw one doe strolling by and that was it.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that probably isn't for me.
Sounds like a lot of what hunting is. Being cold and quiet and just, it's one of those things though, you get in there, not as much in a tree stand because, you know, I don't know, at least for me, I'm always, you know, like, you know, I don't want to get too loose up in a tree stand and end up hanging off my tether or something, right? But, you know, in a blind especially, man, you get into this almost, you know, meditative state, you know, and it's just, it's insane. It really is. You know, it's everything goes calm and quiet, you know, and I think for me, like the first 10, 15 minutes in, my head's just pinging crap through it. You're just ding, 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 ding. And then at some point it all just quiets down. And everything becomes focused. And that's when it just, oh man, it's awesome. It really is. I love it.
I try it again. I really don't have anybody to really show me the ropes. And, you know, like it's kind of hard starting from not knowing nothing. And I mean, at the time, you know, like I had somebody that I could have called that would have, you know, told me what to do with it if we actually got anything. But at this point, I don't even know anybody.
Nowadays, you just hang it and get it to the processor. That's my way of doing it.
It is a little, But LX, man, come up like next time you've hung out with Havoc. Like I'll take you out hunting. Like both you guys. Like I have a whole processing facility at my house. I just butchered a whole cow, like from start to finish. I bought the cow. We dispatched it. I built a walk-in cooler. Like I got a whole video on it. It's pretty badass. So we hung it for 30 days. You know, we grinded it up. It's, you know, I've done bear. I do bear, deer, hogs, like everything, man. So it's pretty cool. Like I could teach you how to make, you know, smoked sausage, how to cure meat where it'll stay for, you know, keep for a year. Right. So it's fun, man. Like I like wilderness survival, like extreme. So, I have probably 3,000 acres that I can hunt just around my house. So anything you want, bear, you know, turkey, you know, I got duck impoundments. It's like a hunter's haven out here. Even you, Avic, you're close. Anytime you get the itch to come out and hunt, let me know, man. I love just taking people that haven't had that experience and teaching them how to do it. It's kind of, I've shot more animals than I can, you know, I don't need to shoot anymore. Like I'd rather put somebody else on their first turkey or first deer, or first bear. It's, you know, I guide. So yeah.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. All right. So getting about time to wrap things up. So one question for you real quick. One person, only one, who would you give a shout out to in the War Dragons community?
Can we do the opposite of a shout out? Like an F you?
We could do that after the shout out. Let's do the shout out first.
Oh, geez. You put me on the spot. I actually planned the answer to that, what I just said. Oh, gosh. There's too many, man. Like, I've been on so many teams. Like, I've networked with so many players. There's not just one. And the person I'd shout out, they don't even play anymore, right?
Don't shout them out anymore. Anyway.
Oh, man. Oh, I don't know, man. Oh, geez. I guess a VIP from War Enforcers. I trained her as a little minion of mine. But yeah, she's still, we still stay in contact. She's a
That's pretty.
good person, man. Not the favorite to some, but I know she's a good, she's a great person.
Oh yeah,
I
no,
want to hear
for
who gets
sure.
to screw you.
She was in our
Panda could go suck a giant tomato. I don't, dude. I was
Allegedly.
on Dread. Even when I was on Dread, he was such a dick to me because I was the leader of EQ. And here's the irony: he was on EQ, and he always gave me grief. But yeah, Panda, if you're listening, I hope you choke on a big giant cucumber. I love you, buddy. And yeah, it's fun. It's all fun and games. That's what War Dragons used to be. Just that camaraderie, the banter. Like, you get on D1 LC, right? You just talk shit. No one got banned. Now, it's so politically correct, man. Like,
Really?
you, yeah. Yeah. I just had one of my officers get banned for, like, it was a 2-week ban because she corrected some douche in LC. She set him straight. But it's gotten out of control, man. People can't speak their minds. I'm like, I'm staying out of LC because, like, you remember our days, like 2018, 19, like it was unfiltered. You had that
I,
one
for
guy
one,
who,
have never engaged in any smack talking whatsoever in League chat. Ever.
yeah, no, I used to. I loved it. I loved it. Who was that one guy? Demon. He went by Demon. He
Oh, yeah.
raged for hours, and never got banned. But yeah, it's a different game now. PG, I hope you listen, and let's talk. I got good ideas. Yeah.
Like that's a guy that would be on a team for maybe a week at the most before he got kicked off. I think he was probably on like almost every
Yeah.
team on there
He
just to get
was.
in league chat.
He was, but that was fun. The most fun I ever played on this game was actually on Dreadnought. It was, right when the avatars released, and we were going after a No Mercy Order, Royal Road, and I was actually on the Atlas officer committee with Dreadnought. Like, we go in, we plan raids. Like, how do we evict, Royal Road? How do we get to these castles? And then at that time, like, you remember World Domination or World D Alliance?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I tied, like, all of the Dread cronies together in one alliance. And I'm like, what's your pain point? They're like, we can't get to these castles. I'm like, why can't you? Like, we don't network with other smaller teams. And Flighty at the time, she's like, yeah, you need to listen to Lumber. Like, we can make this happen. And I coordinated, I opened up castles. And they were able to actually evict, and we disbanded No Mercy Order, like we evicted Royal Road. But that was my prime. That's when I was like, I'm quitting the game. We did the impossible. I'm done. And but I'm back, and I'm having fun. I'd love for it to get. I don't know. I have high hopes. I'd love to relive that, but I don't think, Global One Team Dreadnought. I was there for like 10 months. Loved it. Great people. Like, the most solid organization you'd ever see. They just ran a tight ship, and I just really enjoyed it. I should have stayed retired. That's my regret. I should have, like, because I left there on fantastic terms. I did. And then one day I became John Wick. And, you remember that? I think Havoc, you said you're John Wick. So I'm like, yeah, I guess there was a disagreement with somebody, and I told him to F off, basically. So it is what it is. No hard feelings. The team itself is a fantastic team. I'd love for them to come back, though. That would be fun. That would be fun.
Yeah, it would for some. For some, it would be fun. For others, maybe not so much. But
Don't
yeah,
know.
I still think the
No,
game
that was a good
needs
season of
another
my life.
Panda, honestly.
I'm over it.
The beacons are lit. Gondor calls for aid. Like, I'm sure Dredd will come. Like, I don't know, let's do it. So
I said
apparently
if
he
Pocket
lets.
Gems comes out with a War Dragons 2, maybe. Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah,
Yeah,
no,
like has the bat light in his backyard. It's like one of those super high powered ones, and it's got the sickle in there instead of the bat in it. Flip the switch. That's all it's gonna take. Awesome. Okay, so who's one person you'd shout out in real life?
Oh, gosh. Real life. I'm gonna
Yeah,
get a little
you don't have to give a name. You don't have to give a name, but you could just say this person is, whatever,
a real person, right? Yeah.
Person in your life at some point in your life. You don't have to give a name, but you could say, yeah, it was a teacher of mine, or it was a mechanic person, or it was a hitchhiker I picked up, or whatever you want.
I got one. Jesus Christ.
There you go. Amen.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's still relevant in my life, so I can end
Awesome.
with that. Yeah.
Me too.
Awesome. All right. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for today. Thank you everyone for signing on with us, and hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, leave a thumbs up. If you don't, leave a thumbs down. Leave a comment if you have any suggestions or ideas or something you'd like to see or hear. If you, I don't know, whatever, do the thing, do the stuff, and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day wherever you may be.
Thanks for stopping by. Good seeing you again, Lumber. I appreciate you
Yeah, you
coming.
too.